Okay, we're in the final parak of Hilchos Kriyashma. I'm going to finish it up today, and then probably start Hilchos Tefillah. So in Hilchos Kriyashma, the Rambam now is going to review various individuals who are exempt from saying Kriyashma. He's also going to get into a little bit about the status of an avel, of someone mourning, as well as situations of burial, etc., where saying Kriyat Shema comes up. Okay, in Halacha Aleph, he says, Nashim v'vadim v'ketanim p'torim b'Kriyat Shema. Now, obviously, by Nashim, we know. Yeah. So he says that. So obviously, Nashim are pater because it's mitzvos eshman grama. Avadim and ketanim are p'torim. Umulamden es ha-ketanim legrosa be'onosa mevarchim lefanei alachareah k'nei l'chancham mitzvos. It's interesting, but you teach ketanim at a young age. Right, to learn Kriyat Shema at the proper time with the Birchos Kriyat Shema. So it's interesting that we focus so much on simply teaching kids Kriyat Shema itself, but it comes out that when you teach kids Kriyat Shema, part of teaching them Kriyat Shema is that it's within Birchos Kriyat Shema itself as well. So the whole gamut should be taught. Now, next halacha is one of the most important ones in the sugya of asuka mitzvah, pater mitzvah, where if a person's engaged in one mitzvah, that he's pater from doing another mitzvah. And that's the case of libo tarid. So, misha haya libo tarid v'nechba is a davar mitzvah, pater mikol mitzvah mikriyat shma. So, let's say a person, now, he's not even talking about a person being asuka in the mitzvah, meaning actually involved in the maisa mitzvah or the physical performance of a mitzvah. For instance, let's say I'm picking up a lulav. So if I'm picking up a lulav, I'm patur from doing another mitzvah. He's talking about if my mind is distracted or engaged in another mitzvah. Okay? When that happens, I'm patur from all mitzvahs and from Kriyat Shema. So the famous case is the chasa. Lefikach, chasan shenasa besula, patur mikriyat shema ad sheyavo aleha. So a chasan who marries a woman who's never been married before, okay, a besula, so he's patur from Kriyat Shema until he has sexual relations with her. The reason why is Lafisha ain't daito pnuya, because he's not able to focus, right? Shemali yimsala basulam. He's nervous. He's nervous that maybe it'll turn out that she's not a virgin, or something along those lines. Other Rishonim learn that he's thinking about simcha, meaning he's excited. Either way, the point is he's not in a state of mind where he can say Kriyat Shema, and since that state of mind is attached to mitzvah, that's why he's pater. The Gemara does raise the case. Let's say someone was thinking about a boat capsizing, if you remember correctly. So in that case, the Gemara says, no, it's not just stam the fact I'm distracted, although there's a havamina that's the case. Rather, if the mitzvah, part of the performance of the mitzvah is a normal distraction by the individual, so then you're patur from Kriyat Shema. And all the mitzvahs, okay? Vim shah ad motzei Shabbos, v'lo bal, but let's say he pushes off having sexual relations with her until after Shabbos, until motzei Shabbos, chayav likros motzei Shabbos v'elach. Right, then he'd be chayav to start reading Kriyat Shema from Motzei Shabbos and beyond. Shehari niskara daito, v'libo gaspa af mishal abal. Because at that point, basically, he's calmed down and he can focus again on Kriyat Shema. But the patur for Kriyat Shema emerges. The patur of Kriyat Shema emerges when a person's das is tarud, where he's tarud insofar as performance of another mitzvah is concerned. Then he's patur. And halacha beis, the one qualification of hanosei es beula api sheosek mitzvah chayav likros. Okay, hov ein lo davar shemavabal daito can call yotze bazeh. But if he marries a woman who's previously been married, like a divorcee or a widow, so even though he's involved in the mitzvah, he's not as distracted. He's not as nervous about, obviously, about the situation. So therefore, that's why he would be he'd have to say Kriyat Shema. Okay. Now, halacha gimel, we're going to switch over to aninus and avelus. Okay, aninus meaning the period of time after a karov passes away, prior to burial, and then avel as well. Well, it's really more stuff that takes place around the burial itself. So, misha meslo mesh, okay, shehu chayev li zaba alav. Okay, so that means an onen. So, if someone dies, okay, and it's a karov, and I'm obligated to mourn for them, pata mekriyat shma, achi gvarenu. So I'm patur from Kriyat Shema until I bury the deceased. Mimish ain't daito pnuya likros, which makes a lot of sense. He's not in a state of mind where he can focus on saying Kriyat Shema. His focus has to be solely on the kvura. Vima yamishamer semes, okay. Afi sheno meso patur from Kriyat Shema. That's also important halacha. If you're a shomer, there is an actual halacha that You're supposed to have people, in a sense, guarding the mace but prior to burial, from the time of the deceased until they're buried. So the shomer is also pater. V'mayu ha-shomerim shnayim, okay, and if there's two of them, right, ha-echad mishamer v'sheni nishmat l'makam acher v'koreh v'chozim mishmar v'mishamer v'nishmat acher v'koreh. So they switch off, meaning if it's two shomerim that are watching the deceased, so one leaves, says Kriya Shema, then comes back. I mean, you can break your status as a shomer and then say Kriya Shema. V'chena chofer kever l'meis patur m'kriya shema. And also someone whose job is to, he's digging a grave for somebody, he's also patur from Kriya Shema. Okay, halacha dalad. Now gets into more halachas about mace. Ein motzin es ha-meis l'kovro samach l'zman Kriya Shema. That is an important halacha. You don't take out the deceased to be buried close to the time of Kriya Shema. Okay, so whether that might be early in the morning or let's say, what do you call it, at night. Ela im kein haya adam gadol, unless it's a very important person. Okay, v'im yischilo v'hotzio, but let's say they did take him out close to Zman Kriya Shema, v'yigia Zman HaKriya, okay, and the Zman Kriya starts, v'im elavin es ha-meis, and they're escorting the mace. Kol shiyesh l'mata tzorach behen, k'gon nosei amita, excuse me, kol shiyesh l'mita tzorach behen, k'gon nosei amita v'chilu fein, ben shayu l'fnei amita, ben shayu l'achar amita peturim. Okay, so anyone who's necessary insofar as taking out the body, okay, for instance, the coffin, whatever it might be, carrying the body, along with anything necessary for the kfura, okay, those people, what do you call it, whether they're in front or not, they're putter. So anyone who's actively involved in assisting transporting the mace to the makam of kfura is putter. But But any other people involved in escorting, right, who there's no need for them to assist in getting the mace buried, they be chayav in Kriya Shema. So again, it's a question of what the nature of the hisaskas is. Halacha hey, hayu asukim behesped. Okay, let's say you're involved in giving a hesped. V'yigia zman Kriya Shema bizman shemeis munach lifnehen. And let's say the zman Kriya Shema starts, right, and the body's ready for, again, it's the time of the levaya. Nishmatin echad echad v'korin v'chorz on the hesped. So each one leaves, okay, individually, or not all together, but one by one, right, they rotate, leaving the area to say Kriya Shema, and then coming back for the hesped. Ain a mace mutal lifnam, but let's say the mace is not there. Kola am koren Kriya Shema, okay? Then everyone would say Kriya Shema. The avel yoshev adomim, right? The fish ainu chay likros achik vors meso. So, if it's a situation where the mace is not there, but the gvura hasn't taken place, excuse me, then the entire, then everybody's chayv in Kriya Shema, but the avel, of course, is not because the mace hasn't been buried yet. Okay, halacha vav. Kavru as a mace, okay, so now they bury the deceased. V'chazru ha'aveilim l'kabel tanchumen. So now comes the first instance of nichum aveilim, okay? So what happens by nichum aveilim? So what v'chol ha'am holchem acharem y'makom ha'kever l'makom sh'omdim bo ha'aveilim. So everybody escorts the avel to a place away from the kever, okay, to where all the aveilim standing. Laso shura l'kabel tanchumen, and you make a row, right? To accept the tanchumen, im yicholin ha'am lahaskel v'ligmor afilu pasuk echad kodim shiagiu l'shura yatchilu. Okay, so if the people can finish at least one pasuk of Kriya Shema before the avel makes it to the shura, then he should vim lav lo yatchilu, and if not, you shouldn't begin Kriya Shema. Eli yinachemu asavelim v'achar shiyipatru mehen yasil likros. So then you don't do that. You wait until the nichum avelim is done, and then you say Kriya Shema. But now, okay, so that's pretty clear. B'nei Adam ha'omdim b'shura ha'pnimiyim, right? So the people standing on the inside of the shura, right? Shehen ro'im p'nei avelim, who can see the actual faces of the mourners, p'turim ha'kriya shema. V'achitzonim, but let's say you're standing in the back area, okay, behind the people, ho v'inan ro'nes avelim, and you can't see the avelim going by, chayavim b'kriya shema b'mkoma. So again, it's in this case, it's the actual relationship that the people being Menachem have with the Avel, right, that produces the Ptur of Kriya Shema. Okay. However, with all that being the case, Halacha Zayin, Kol Mishu Hu Patur Miklos Kriya Shema, okay, if you are someone who's Patur from saying Kriya Shema, Im Ratzo L'Hachem El Atzmo L'Gros Korah. Interesting. So the case of Ptur here doesn't mean Ptur that there's no reality to Kriya Shema. No, if someone wants to be Machmer and say Kriya Shema, they're allowed to. But it has to be a situation where you're able to focus. So in all these situations, it's an interesting idea that a person could still say Kriya Shema as long as he's sure that he can focus. Right? But again, he can't make use of the patur if he's in a situation where his mind will be distracted. Okay? Finally, he says, Kol HaTameim in Halacha Ches. So anyone who's Tameh is still Chayiv in Kriya Shema. Okay, Tameh is Chayiv in Kriya Shema. V'varchan lefanei alachrea. V'heim b'tumasan. So even in the state of being ritually impure, of being Tameh, you're still Chayiv to say Kriya Shema. Afo pish efshar lahen la'los b'tumasan bo b'yom. Even if it's a situation where the person who's in a state of Tameh is able to exit that stage, to go to the mikvah that very day. Right? I mean, they could wait. They're still Chayiv. Kagon hanogim v'sheretz, abanida v'zava, mishkavah, kiosav ahead. Now, the Ezra Beis Dino Tiknu, now there was an actual Takanas Ezra, Shel Yikre B'Divrei Torah Baal Keri Levado, okay? V'otziu Miklal Shar Tmein Ach Yitbo, okay? So the halacha was that a Baal Keri, someone who had a seminal mission, was not allowed to read Torah, okay, until they went to the mikvah. And then that came from the overall area of what it called the being Tameh, and you have to wait until you do Tvilat in order to do that. However, V'lo Pashta Takana Zu B'chol Yisrael, but what happened was is that this takana never really took off. The Jewish people weren't able to do it, okay? And therefore, over time, the takana became a vatel, okay? Ugvar nagu kol Yisrael, and therefore, the minhag today of Jews, likros b'tor, likros kriyashma, right? To read kriyashma or read Torah, v'heim ba'alei kriyim. So they're ba'al keri. If a person after he has sexual relations, if a male after he has sexual relations, he doesn't have to go to the mikvah, or there's no takana still extant today of going to the mikvah prior to tefillah or for learning Torah. Levishain divrei Torah mekablan tuma, right? Ela omdim v'tarasam olam. So why? Because divrei Torah are never mekablan tuma. Rather, they are always permanently in a state of tara. Shenemar haloko divrei dvarik eish num Hashem ma eish ena mekabel tuma. So the word of God is like fire, right? Just like fire is not mekablan tuma, av divrei Torah ena mekablan tuma. Thus ends Hilchos Kriya Shema. Okay. So after Hilchos Kriya Shema comes, just give me one second, Hilchos Tfila. Okay. And just give a little background about what we're going to cover here. Go. Okay. So as you can see from the title, Hilchos Tfila is Tfila and Nesias Kapayim. Nesias Kapayim or Birkas Kohanim. Okay. Which comes up later on towards the latter part of Hilchos Tefila. And Hilchos Tefila covers a lot of very familiar topics. So, things will be pretty intuitive. And you'd be surprised some halachos will come across that aren't necessarily done anymore today, but certainly are should be relevant. Okay, so again, as we always do, we start with the Koseres, Hilchos Tefila Uberkas Kohanim. Yesh b'chol an shtei mitzvot saseh. So there's two positive commandments. Achas lavod es Hashem b'chol yom b'tefila. So the first one is to worship God. This line here of Lavod es Hashem, right? Bechol yom bitfila, that's had thousands of pages of Torah written on what it means to Lavod es Hashem bechol yom bitfila, what the idea of Avodah Hashem here means. But the point is we'll say it simply, you have to daven once a day. Shnia levar kohanim es Yisrael bechol yom. And the other one is for the kohanim to be mevarach the Jews every single day. Now it's important to understand that Birkas Kohanim, okay, is actually the one de'oraisa remnant that we have from the Beis HaMikdash. Because Birkas Kohanim, I mean, depending on your perspective, was either the tail end of the Avoda or a separate part of Tefillah done in the Mikdash, but either way, it was tied to Avoda's Mikdash, right? So the idea of Birkas Kohanim today existing in Tefillah in its form, whenever the Kohanim get up there to Duchen, you're seeing actually, so to speak, the Beis HaMikdash in action. So it is our one vestige from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Paragav Alachav. Mitzvah Saseh Lispal B'chol Yom. So the mitzvah D'oraisa is to daven once a day. Shenemar Vavatem Es Hashem Lokechem. Okay? Mipia Shmua, right? We learn from our Mesorah, from Torah Shabbal Peh, Lamdu, Shavoda Zu Hi Tfila. So what is this Avoda that says in the Torah? That is Tfila. Shenemar Ulaavdo B'chol Vavchem. Amru Chuchamam Ezu Hi Avoda Shebelev. So what is the worship of God that's internal inside, zub tefila, that's tefila. Vein minyan atfilos minatara, okay. Vein mishana atfila zos minatara. Now, it's important to understand is that we've been so, I mean, obviously, Minyan has been severely curtailed due to the pandemic, but in general, we sort of indoctrinated when it comes to tefillah to think of tefillah as a three times a day experience with a fixed set of words and a fixed time, right? But the truth is, midoraisa, none of that is true. Okay, midoraisa, there's no zman kavua. A person, as you'll see, can say what he wants, okay? The text did not come from the Torah. Yes, it's how we daven today, but ultimately, midoraisa, that's not what tefillah was. And we'll get to what happens soon. The Rambam actually explains it. Halacha beis, l'fikach nashim avadim, chayom mitfila. Right? So therefore, women and avadim are chayim mitfila. Fishi mitzvah sasei, shelo zman grama. So it's not a time-bound mitzvah. Elachi of mitzvah zu, kachu. Right? So what's the nature of the obligation? Shehe adam mischanen and mispala b'chol yom. So a person is obligated every day to supplicate and pray, okay? Umagid shvachol shal kadosh baruch hu, and to recite the praise of God, okay? V'achrach shol tzarachav, right? Shu tzarach lahem. And then he asks for his needs, bibakasha, uvetchina. V'achrachain nosin shevach v'hodeh l'ashem al tova, sheishpilo kol echel afikocha. So what the Rambam is saying is that there's a very simple formula of tefillah, okay? A person starts off with shevach, praise, moves into bakasha, requests his needs, and then hodah, which is hakaras hatov, the recognition of the good. Now, that being the case, okay, it's interesting to note that that doesn't mean it involves any specific words, meaning a person wakes up in the morning and he can recite whatever shevach, so to speak, he wants to recite about God, okay? So it's important to understand there was no text that the Torah was referring to. Tefillah did not have a bound text. It had an idea of these three concepts being hit in tefillah, but not by a specific text, okay? And like he says, Elacha Gimel, Im haya ragil marbe betchina v'kasha, v'im haya aros fasayim, right? Medaber kefi yachalto v'chol eish yirtzeh, okay? So if he wants to, he can say lots of tchina v'kasha, and if he's not such a clear talker, he doesn't have to, right? And anytime he wants to. V'chein minyan ha-tfilos kol echa kefi yachalto. And the amount of times a person wants to daven is also up to him, right? You could daven 10 times a day. Yesh mispal pa'am achas b'yom, yesh mispal pa'amayim harbe, pa'amim harbe. V'akol yu mispalin nochach ha-mikdash. And everyone would daven facing the mikdash, or directed to the mikdash. V'chol makam shiyeh, v'chein ayah davar tamim Moshe Rabbeinu v'ad Ezra. So this is the way tefillah was, from Moshe until Ezra. Now, the Rambam, remember, this is a sefer of halacha. So why is the Rambam emphasizing this? Because he's trying to show you, as you'll see, that it wasn't a normative derabbanan that took place to change tefillah. Meaning tefillah in its ideal state should be this. This is what tefillah was, right? It wasn't like it was more like, because, as you'll see soon, there was a shibush, right? A confusion that led to Rabbanan stepping in and having to formalize tefillah in the way it is today. But it's important to know, every time that we daven, that we're always davening in a way that is not the ideal way to daven. It wasn't set up the way we do it today. The fixed text, where the repetitive nature of it, that wasn't what tefillah was. Tefillah was, you wake up in the morning, a person says to himself, this is what I think about God today, shevach-wise, and what bakashas you need, etc. That's how a person would daven. So he's emphasizing to show you, this is the Raisa system of tefillah. Now in Alacha Dalet, he explains what happened. Kevon shegoli Yisrael v'mei Nebuchadnezzar, harasha. So when Bnei Yisrael were exiled, okay, in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, Nisarvu b'paras v'yavon u'shar umos, okay, we assimilated, right? We got mixed among the Persians, Greeks, etc., around all the world. The nodu lehem banim ba'artos agoyim, we had kids in these other countries. Those on abanim nisbabalu svasam. And the languages got mixed up, okay, very post Tower of Babel. We weren't speaking Lashon HaKodesh anymore, right? V'haisa svas kol echad v'echad mureves milshanos harbeh. So everyone's languages started getting mixed up, okay? The Kevin Shahaya Medaber Eino Yochel Daber Kol Tzorcho B'Loshon Achas Elo B'Shibush. All right? So what ended up happening is that a person would not be able to say all his needs in tefillah in one language. Rather, be a mixed up of languages, okay? Shneimar Uvneim Chatzim Daber Ashdudis Veino Makirin L'Daber Yehudis. Okay? K'Loshon Am. Right? Excuse me, K'Loshon Am V'Am Am V'Am, right? So we started losing the ability to speak Hebrew, okay? And we started picking up more foreign languages. And when one person would daven, tiksar lishona lishol chafetzav, ulahagit sheva kadosh baruch hu b'lashon hakodesh. So what ended up happening is that as our Hebrew skills waned and our skills of other languages increased, we ended up saying less and less tefillah in Lashon HaKodesh. Achi arvu imal lashonos acheros, until eventually other languages got mixed up into Hebrew. The Kaman Shira Ezra Bezino, right? So when Ezra and his Bezin saw this taking place, Kach amdu v'tiknu lahem shmon esrei brachos al haseder. So that moved Ezra and his Bezin to get up and misakin shmon esrei, okay? To objectify it, to make it one language, one text, one overall system, to get rid of the confusion that was taking place due to languages. Shlosh rishono shevach l'Hashem, shlosh achronos hodaya. All right, so the first three are praise, the last three are karas hatov. Vem sayus yesh behen she'elos kol hadvarim shehen kamo avos l'chol chafse ish ve'ish l'tzarech hatzibur kula. So what they worked out was, they worked out in the middle sets of brachos, the bakashos, all the basic needs that human beings require, both individual and as a tzibur. Okay, so the entire gamut of the necessary things that we require for existence appears in bakashos. So if you ever go through them, you'll see they're actually pretty thorough. Kadesh yu aruchos b'fiyakol, the yilam duo son, right? So this way, the tefillah will be standardized for everybody, and everybody will learn the same tefillah. Utiya tefillas elu ha'alagim tefillah shlema k'tefillas ba'alei lashon atzacha. And this will basically make tefillah complete and whole. It will make a consistent system of tefillah. Umnei inyan zeh tiktu kol brachos v'tefillos mesudaros b'fiyakol Yisrael, kadesh sheyehe inyan kol bracha aruch b'fi ha'alag. So basically what ends up happening is that because of the mix-up of languages, this forced Ezra and the Beis Din to respond by creating a unified, universal tefillah. And that has been the way it's been the case since the times of Ezra all the way to today. That's why, by the way, the issue of well, there's two issues. One is girsa issues, which that's not for now, but that's an interesting question. Which girsa should we look for? Do we want to daven as close as possible to what Ezra and his Beis Din were misakein? And the other issue that comes up is, can we change anything they were misakin? The way the Rambam puts it, the Takana sounds like it was set in stone. It's a Takanas Ezra, and we can't change any of the Lashon of Tefillah. But of course, as you've seen in other movements within Judaism, there's been major changes in what's written in Tefillah, sometimes what are called updates. And even within modern Orthodoxy, there's been some movement to try and update what's presented in Tefillah. So it seems pretty clear from the Lashon of the Rambam, you would not be able to do that. Okay, Alacha Hey. V'chein tiknu, as well, there are misakin shehe minyan hatfilos k'minyan harkabanos. Okay? So how many times do we daven every day? Okay? Well, for now, let's make it simple. We'll say two. We'll get to Marv in a second, but two. K'minyan harkabanos. Okay? Shtei tfilos v'chol yom k'neged shtei tzmidim. Okay? V'chol yom sheish korma musaf tiknu bo tfilos shlishes. So originally what happened was that you had shachris and you had mincha. Okay? And shachris corresponds to one korban tamid. Mincha to the other korban tamid. And then on a day where another korban was brought, like korban musaf, right? Tiknu bo tefillah shlishis, keneged korban musaf, an extra tefillah that we call musaf was added. Utefillah shehi keneged tamid shalboker hi anikras tefillah shachar. So the one in the morning is shacharis. Utefillah kishkeneged tamid shalbein rabayim hi anikras tefillah mincha. Utefillah sheneged musafin hi anikras tefillah hamusafin. No one calls it musafin today. We all call it musaf, but those are the names. However, right? V'chein elachavav hiskinu shehei adam ispal tefila achas belaila, but they also were misakin that a person should daven one more tefila at night. So notice, as I think most people are familiar with, the obligatory tefilas were shacharis, mincha, and then musaf, and then later on they also added, so to speak, marv. Marv is like the appendage. Sherei evari tamid shalbein arvayim misaklin v'holken kol laila, because the limbs of the korban tamid would burn all night, right? Shenemar hi haola. Right, in the Shemar, erev uboker vitzaharayim, asichav emav yishma koli. Vein tefilas arvis chova ketefilas shacharis mincha. So marv is not obligatory like shacharis mincha. Nonetheless, afal pichein nogu kol Yisrael v'chol makomos mosh vosehem leispalo arvis v'kiblu aleim kit tefilas chova. So even though essentially marv is really optional tefilah, the Jewish people took it upon themselves as obligatory. And because we did that, and then acquired that shame of being an obligatory tefillah. So but again, it's kechova, right? So we treat it that way. But marv was really, so to speak, marv is like an extension, so to speak, of mincha. Meaning, in other words, the korban tamid still, there's still leftovers. So because of that, that's why marv came into existence. Okay, do one more. Halacha zayin v'chein tiknu tefillah achar tefillas mincha samach l'shkia sachama b'yomatayinis bavad. And there's another tefillah that they instituted after mincha, close to Shkia, on a fast day, okay? to add more supplication and request because of the fast. Vizui atfila nikres tefila ne'ila. This is ne'ila. Kolomar nin alu shari shemayim ba'ad ha'shemesh v'nistera lefish emes fa'on osa ela samach shkez chama. Notice, by the way, the Rambam says it twice, right? Ne'ila is recited before shkia, right? There's a famous issue where many shuls, or most shuls, they bedafka end Yom Kippur, right? They end ne'ila way after shkia, usually after tzeis, right? It would seem like, and certainly briskers hold this way, that ne'ila should finish prior to shkia, meaning ne'ila is the final tefillah of that day, okay? If you go past shkia, you're now, so to speak, getting into the following day. And that's not Yom Kippur anymore, or any tinus. So, on a basic level, ne'ila really should be recited prior to shkia. That's the best time, it would seem like that's the best time to do it. Okay, let's stop here, and we'll pick this up, God willing, tomorrow.